mute there while we start. Genesis chapter 1. Today, I wanted to share a very simple topic, and you know, I'm sharing this purely from a point of view of increasing confidence in God. I titled this Creator of Heaven and Earth. And I was looking at Genesis chapter 1 to start, as you might imagine. Genesis chapter 1. And I told you to turn to it. I didn't go there. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. When I was looking at that truth of God creating the heaven and the earth, because I've been looking through the Word of God lately, and that truth comes up an awful lot. In various contexts, and I thought we'd just look at a few of them today. And I wanted to do this from the point of view of one of the great things that we can do in order to see God work in our life more is to have greater confidence in Him. And one thing that gives us great confidence in Him is to know that very simple and basic truth that He created the heaven and the earth. Look at Acts chapter 14. This is where I was reading when I saw this verse. Acts 14. Acts chapter 14, when Paul and was at Lystra, and he was preaching here. Let's go down to verse 6. They were aware of it. Verse 5. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them, and despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. So apparently Paul did a lot of the preaching. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gate, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And that's what you were praying there, Doug, at the beginning, the great rain that God gives us. Now here he tells them, look, turn away from these things and trust in that God, the living God, who made heaven and earth. And you'll see this, it's repeated quite often in the Word. And I was thinking, why is that repeated in the Word of God? Do you think it's because God needs reminding that He made the heaven and earth? When people talk or pray to God, they say, "God, thou that made the heaven and earth." You can almost see God saying, oh, well, yeah, I did, in fact. No, that wouldn't make sense, would it? But when you think about it, when you approach God with the reverence that, "God, I know you made the heaven and earth," it really puts you on a different standing before Him, doesn't it? When you approach Him with reverence and respect and say, "God, I know you made heaven and earth. And now I know there's nothing you cannot do for me to help in this situation." You know, it's a real statement of reverence and respect towards the Creator of heaven and earth. Remember, the Hebrew says that we must come to God and believe that He is. First of all, that He is, then that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, that He is. So the first to go to God and say, "God, I know You're there. You made heaven and earth." And in fact, if you're, you know, we were talking about Romans there at Vige before. Romans chapter 1, what was the one thing they didn't do? They said they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They did not even come to him and said, yes, you are God. You know, and today, if you look around and hear all the things people say, it's Mother Science or Mother Earth or Father whatever, and no God. They do not glorify him as God. And yet, you know, you'll see these cases where these verses where people came to him and said, you know, God, you made the heaven and earth. What a great way to talk to him. Psalm 8. And, you know, this, you, as you're reading God's word, just watch for that. It's a lot of places. You know, I know God doesn't need reminding that he made the heaven and earth, but man certainly does. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. See, all these things are the works of God's hands. God made the heaven and earth. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. In Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. Verse 1. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, 1/4 of the day they read the Bible, the law they had. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. So that's half a day of doing nothing but reading the word of God, the law, and then confessing and talking about worshiping God. Most people can't handle it for 40 minutes, a core half a day. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, these gentlemen, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Verse 5, then the Levites, Jeshua, and these guys said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. What a great statement. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is in therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. You know, you made heaven, and not only heaven, the heaven of heavens also, which is something we could look at sometime. But when Jesus Christ was resurrected, it says that he said he passed through the heavens. So the earth, heaven and earth, they're talking about that God made. There's something even beyond that, which is called the heaven of heavens in the Bible. And that's where God abideth. God made that too. But here we're talking about heaven and earth. But interesting, their reverence for him. They didn't say anything there that God didn't know, did they? Did they say, you know, well, yeah, you're right. You know, now that I think of it, I did make that. I did make the earth. Wow, I had forgotten. No, it's them. It's for their sake. They're saying, God, you made heaven and earth. You know, what a blessing for us to know that our Father God made heaven and earth and all things therein. Look at Isaiah chapter 37. It is just great reverence in prayer to approach God from that level. Isaiah chapter 37. This is the case when Hezekiah was being assaulted by Assyria, or was about to be assaulted by Assyria. Verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, those guys who had come. We read this a few times in the last few fellowships. And Hezekiah went up onto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Now his kingdom is about to be annihilated by the host of Assyria. So he took the letter up there, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. You see how these men, they approach God from a point of great reverence. God, you made heaven and earth. So far he hasn't said anything about what he needed, did he? But he starts off by saying, you made heaven. Always reminds me of Jesus Christ teaching them to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, he starts the prayers off from a point of great reverence and respect. Thou hast made heaven and earth. You know, again, for whose sake? For the sake of the person praying. To understand, okay, let's keep this straight here who we're talking to. God who made heaven and earth. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Even others recognize this truth. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. As I said, it's right throughout God's word. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. And I'm going to read in verse 11. Then Hiram, the king of Tyre, answered in writing which he sent to Solomon, because the Lord hath loved his people, he hath made thee king over him. So he was asking this gentleman for help to build the house of the Lord and his own house. And so Hiram replied, verse 12. Hiram said, moreover, blessed be the Lord God of Israel that made heaven and earth, who hath given to David the king a wise son and due the prudence and understanding that thou might build a house unto the Lord and so forth. This guy, another king, who recognized that the God of Solomon was the God who made heaven and earth. In Jeremiah chapter 10. Here, Jeremiah contrasts this God who made heaven and earth to those that didn't make heaven and earth. Jeremiah chapter 10. Remember also when Joshua had sent the spies into the promised land, they went to see Rahab. When Rahab talked to those guys, they said, we've heard about your God. We know what your God can do. You see, there was this reverence and respect, even among those who weren't of Israel, that this God, he's the one that made heaven and earth. And she said, I want to, you know, please take care of me. And she wanted to worship this God. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, you know, the zodiac and so forth. For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. You got to carry these gods around. They can't even walk around themselves. There's a powerful God. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations and all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen, and of the hands of the founder, blue and purple, and there is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord, in contrast to all these gods they carry around, they worship and all this, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble. There is reverence and respect for our God. and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth. See, those other ones, they didn't make the heavens and the earth. These ones, they can't even carry themselves around. Even they shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. That is the true God, not the other ones that they were carrying around and, you know, stocks, pieces of wood and metal and so forth, and carried on today in likeness of dead saints and pictures of this and pictures of that and all that kind of stuff that still goes on today. God, in contrast, is the one who made the heaven and the earth. He did it by his discretion. He spread the heavens out by his understanding. Nobody else. In Psalm 121. Surely this God who made the heaven and the earth, he can help us. We should never have any doubt about that when we go to him in prayer. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will, and it should be again that thing, should I lift up mine eyes unto the hills? From whence cometh my help? Does my help come from my hill? No, it doesn't. That's where they had the pagan gods. My help cometh from the Lord, in contrast, which made heaven and earth. In Psalm 124, just a little bit over, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. In Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Happy is he whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. You notice the context of a lot of those statements is, listen, he did this. You should trust him because he did that. Look what else he can do for you. The little thing that you might have need, well, that's nowhere near as difficult as making the heaven and the earth. You know, it's in the order of what Abraham said in Romans 4. You know, he was not only did he worship God, but he was persuaded that not only was God able but willing. So he knew God was willing, but he also believed that God was able. And you know, when you read these verses, I hope it helps us to understand that God is able. He made the heaven and the earth. Surely he can take care of us. In Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. See again in the context, here's Jeremiah praying, God, you made heaven and earth. Nothing is too hard for you. See how it can really be a real help to us to try and understand God's great ability to bless and deliver his people. In Psalm 19, a wonderful psalm. Verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The firmament being where the stars are and all that. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. This is talking about the stars and how, you know, God set the stars there for signs and for seasons. And it says that there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, because you can see the stars everywhere in the world. They go out, their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son. Keep your hand here, and we'll go to Romans chapter 10 briefly, just to see where this is quoted, because it's interesting how it lines up with this section. So, their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard, not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, had they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world." That's what it's talking about in Psalm 19. He says, had they not heard? He goes, yeah. And if you read the rest of that, yes, they heard. All man has to do is take a look up and look at the stars and look at what God wrote in the stars and where he put them for signs and for seasons. And there is no excuse for man not to believe in the living God. But there's no excuse. Their line went out into all the words into all the earth. You see, this ties the creation of God to his word. God created the earth, the stars, and all this, and even all of that gives forth his word. So when God made the heaven and the earth, he made it with a purpose. He made it with a reason. There's things he said in there so that man would come back to his word and understand. Here he says, listen, you've seen that. You have no excuse but not to believe in me. Back in Psalm 19, verse 3, "For their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." So those six verses talk about the sun and the stars and all this, and it says that he set a tabernacle for the sun in them. He's talking about the signs of the zodiac in the sky, the constellations. As the sun travels through the heavens, it goes through each of those constellations, which are called the houses for the sun. So here, that first part is talking about astronomical things. The next few verses talk about the word of God. But it's interesting, the words used in the next part are astronomical words, whereas the words used in the first part are literary words. It's interesting how God puts this all tightly together. In verse 7, the law, now he's talking about the word of God. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." As the sun traveled through the constellations of the sky and rested in each of the houses of the sun, here God says, my word, you believe my word, and you rest yourself in the truths of my word. You see, he ties his creation together with his word. And God shows you the importance of resting in his word, recognizing that he made the heaven and the earth. And he made it for a reason. Even the stars and the earth and all those things that happen that we see every night, God did for a reason, to bless man, to take care of man. In Isaiah chapter 42, Isaiah 42. God that made the heaven and earth. In Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. This is talking about Jesus Christ now. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth. Here, the context of saying he's the God that made heaven and earth is the prophecies of the coming of Jesus Christ. God made the heaven and the earth. And here, again, here, does God know this? Of course he knows this. But he's the one who made heaven and earth. And here he's talking about the coming of the Messiah. Verse 5, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out. Again, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. But look, this, I made the heaven and the earth. He's talking about the coming Messiah. There's nobody else, and I'm not going to share my glory with all the other nonsense gods that are out there. That's God. He's the God who made heaven and earth. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. See, God made the heaven and the earth, and here he's the one who gave all power in that creation that he had made to Jesus Christ. He could. He's the one who made it. He made heaven and earth, and he said, I am going to give that to my son, the Lord Jesus. He gave it to Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, look, I now have power in all heaven and in earth. Acts 17. Sorry, Acts 4. Acts 4. It's such a wonderful truth to keep in mind. You know, if we're trying or working on learning to believe God more and more, you know, it's these kind of truths that we must keep in our minds when we approach God. And maybe if I'm looking for an answer to a prayer in a certain area of life, you know, maybe I need understanding in an area. If I compare the areas that I need understanding or help in my life to a God who made the heaven and the earth, my problems or issues seem very, very small. And that helps you to believe. It helps you to believe to see the greatness of God. When you see that he made heaven and earth. Acts chapter 4, verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them. That's just what the Word of God says. I found it really, really interesting. As they prayed, they went to God and said, God, you made heaven and earth. You know, it'd be interesting when you talk to God to see how other people talk to God and what they had in their mind when they were talking to him, especially when they had got great answers to prayer. You know, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And so forth. In Acts 17, it's a really common theme in the scriptures to recognize this God who made the heaven and the earth, and now in our administration has given all the power in heaven and earth to his Son, who is the head of the body of Christ. Acts 17:22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious or very religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein. Here's Paul preaching in Athens. What does he say? He goes, listen, the God I'm telling you about made the earth, world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped by with men's hands. This is just like Isaiah. As though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and so forth. You see, these men, their great reverence and respect, when they were witnessing to people, they said, listen, God made the heaven and the earth. When they prayed, they said, God made the heaven and the earth. And other unbelievers even said, your God made the heaven and the earth. And when the prophet said, listen, those gods didn't make the heaven, our God made the heaven and the earth. You see what a great truth it is right throughout his word. A great truth for us to recognize as we grow in reverence for our God. And we'll close in 2 Peter chapter 3. Actually, a couple more verses. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. God made the heaven and the earth. Guess what? It's going away. Someday that it is going away. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Yes, God made the heaven and the earth, and guess what? It's going away, and yet look what's going to happen. Verse 13, nevertheless, we look, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You see, God is the Almighty God. He made the heaven and the earth originally, and then we know what happened to them, and now he made the heaven and the earth we live in, and guess what? After this is all done with, he makes a new heaven and a new earth. And let's close in Revelation. We started in Genesis. Let's close in Revelation. 21. Revelation 21. Verse 1. And I, talking about John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the former heaven and the former earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That one is when the new heaven and the new earth comes into being. So, you know, a wonderful truth. God made the heaven and the earth in the beginning, and he is able and willing to take care of us in the heaven and earth that are now, that we live in. And he's going to make a new one to come. You know, what a wonderful God we have. And we ought to recognize that very simple truth. And it's a simple truth, really, if you think about it. God made the heaven. We say it all the time. God made the heaven and the earth. But if you think about what that means and all the details of what that took for God to do, to set it in motion the way he set it in motion, it really ought to help us in trusting our God and in trusting our Lord Jesus Christ, who has put in charge of the heaven and earth that he made. So what a wonderful God that we have, and what a wonderful blessing it is to grow in reverence and respect and trust in him. So God bless.